Serious. Okay. Hi, guys. And I fell. Hi from India, please.
What's good?
What's good, guys? So, how do we even start? Okay, before we dive in, let me just say a few things. I want to be as clear as possible. So this is not gonna be a polished or overly edited show like you see on social media.
Yeah, this is just going to be us talking to each other exactly how we normally do. No
Right.
scripting, nothing, just a structure of plan to go through.
And that's kind of the point. Like, we want to show you guys an unperfect, unedited version of siblings just having conversations that are real. So let's just see how this goes. This is, yeah, our first trial type thing.
Yeah, that's because we believe that everything should be honest and true. There is obviously two different sides. Me and her come from the same family, same background, but have completely different views. And that's what we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah, and maybe what's going to be the most interesting part is just how we individually speak or what happens when our perspectives collide. When you get to observe how two different experiences and like how it creates two different people, even though we are in the same family, same house, we have same experiences, we are, I would say, totally different people, and we view the world very differently.
We're in two different stages in our life. I'm turning 20 this year. She just turned 18 this year. She's in the US. I'm in India. Our parents are in the US and Norway. We have completely spread out and we have different things to
Yeah.
talk about.
So that's going to be kind of cool to dive in since he is in India and I am in the US for very different reasons. We both are kind of, like he said, in very different stages of our lives. We're going to dive more into it, but for now, we're just looking to show you guys something real, real conversations that we think people might benefit from hearing from two different perspectives, even though, like we mentioned, we have same experiences. We're basically like the same person, but very different person. So this is just gonna be a straight conversation just about our perspectives. And yeah, I hope you guys like it. I hope you guys find our views kind of interesting because I would say we have quite interesting views as the people we are at the age we are.
No. So with that, let's dive into our backstory. You can start.
Yeah, so I want to start with saying our names.
Okay.
So
My
this
name
is
is Hikmet.
my older brother, Hikmet.
This is my younger sister, Hariba.
Me, Hariba, and we are of Afghan descent who
Persian.
have, yeah, we're Asians. I don't know if that's visible. Most people wouldn't say that, but okay. We are born both in Afghanistan and Herat, a little village. So you guys are gonna find it very shocking, the places and what we have experienced. Based on where we're from, we were both most likely just supposed to be in a village milking goats.
Pretty much. I
Yeah.
mean, the name of our village is so unknown that you can't even find it on Google Maps. We come from Hurjan. If
Yeah.
you can find that, good luck.
Yeah, it's like basically a village with these homes that are built out of mud, like mud houses. Like, it's a nowhere. Our mom is also from a village,
From
but
a
she
village.
grew up in the city of Kabul, Afghanistan. So we're like, it's like two worlds from the same country colliding, but then moving it and upgrading it to create us. Okay, so that's our names. I hope you guys remember it, but maybe probably not for now. As he mentioned, he's turning 20 in like a month. I just turned 18. We are 1.5 years apart. It's gonna show very much. Yeah, you guys are gonna see that.
Yeah.
We butt
I don't
heads
know
all
which
the
one.
time. Like, even though he's older, I'm younger, I think we're the same age. He doesn't disagree. He doesn't agree. You guys are
You
just.
need to grow up. You need to
Yeah,
just grow up.
I'm not gonna go into it because that's getting too personal too quick, but someone here also needs to grow up. Okay, so we mentioned where we are born. And yeah, okay, so why we're starting this podcast. Maybe that's something we should quickly talk about.
Yeah. So the reason we're starting this podcast is, first of all, getting something to do. We want to document how our thought process, how our mentality and personalities are going to change over time as we debate with each other, figure out new things. Because obviously there are things I know that she doesn't know and there's things she knows that I don't know. And that's going to help us both improve in our own personal lives, grow as
personal
people,
lives,
individuals.
And I think documenting this and sharing this with the world, I hope it's helps a lot of other teens who might have similar experiences or feel kind of lost, because I feel like obviously we're all lost. We are all trying to find our way. But it sounds kind of maybe arrogant, but I think me and Hikmat kind of have most of it figured out for our age. We're kind of, I would say we're both very deep thinkers. We have a bigger view. We have like kind of zoomed out of all of our experiences and seen the bigger picture, which you guys are going to sense the more we speak and the more we debate stuff. But for now, just take my word for it. You're going to figure it out. We're kind of dope, even though we're weird.
The most important thing to think about this is that when we talk to each other, we're not talking exactly to each other. It's almost like a third person perspective. Like,
yes,
we're debating someone outside of us. And that's the interesting part.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to find us very interesting, honestly. And just keep in mind our age. I think that's going to,
I might look 30, but I'm not even 20 yet. So,
yeah, take his word
for
it.
She looks like she looks like a midwife. You look like you have divorced at least once.
Take one, please. You look like you have had all of your four wives and all of them left you. No, it's not. Okay, so let us just quickly get a bit more into where we are, why we are in the places we are, because like we mentioned, we both are from a small village in Afghanistan. So it was kind of a big thing moving from, for anyone who comes from a small place in Afghanistan, it's going to be a very big move to move out of Afghanistan,
so,
if
like,
that makes sense.
You have to take into perspective like the process that we had to go through. We went from living in mud huts, like actually basically foraging for food, to our dad having a good enough job to, for our entire family to move and live a luxurious life.
Luxurious. When he's saying that, it's a big perspective change. So we, like you said, went from basically a small living place, which is just livable, to having our own house, living quite luxury, going to private schools, getting kind of a perspective on the world outside of Afghanistan, which is like crazy difference.
And like, it wasn't just a one-step jump. First, like, obviously our families had to work incredibly hard. We didn't just live in Ghoryan. We lived in Herat. We lived in one of our family members' basements for about 2 years. And we had to move to Kabul. We lived there for a couple of years. And then we moved after that. It was a long progression, but it was a very massive jump in a very short amount of time. Like, we went from living in someone's basement to living in a mansion.
Luxury.
And having our own guards outside of our house, and me and her going to karate and private school and learning all of these different new
like
languages,
private
new styles, new
food. Chauffeurs, having guards.
Yeah, like
our life kind of literally changed overnight. And then again, 2 years later, it really, really, really changed overnight. Maybe you want explain.
It's been up and down. So like, we went from someone's basement to a mansion, and from a mansion to living in a camp for foreigners in a completely different country where we don't even speak their language, don't understand anything. And we're supposed to build a new life there and without our father present. It was just us and mom and a one-year-old kid, which is our little sister.
Maybe mention this. So we are siblings. We have a younger sister who's just turned 11. Our mom and dad, they're both the same age. They both turned 40 this year. So another perspective to get, our parents were really young when they had us, especially me and Hikmat. They were 20 when they had him, and they were 22 when they had me. Both basically teens, newlywed, came from, like, they were looking to make their lives. They weren't looking to, like, be, what's the word? Like, they were looking to have their own independence, which most
not,
people
like, I make it sound like our dad did like all of the work, But our mom did a tremendous amount of work as well. In Afghanistan, 11 years ago, when the Taliban were just starting to fight and killing people and stoning women for having an opinion, our mother was a women's rights activist going around the country preaching that women should have their own rights, traveling the world preaching that and being basically...
The world.
Like the world, Thailand, Indonesia, all of these other countries, to get women out of like being just a housewife to having jobs and having respectable careers. And she was making more than our dad at this time, more money than our dad. As a woman in Afghanistan, that's like extremely taboo, but their relationship was like, take that into consideration.
Yes, I made our word for it.
I made it sound like our dad was doing 100% of the work, but it was not. Like, they were both doing tremendous amounts of work. My mom was supporting my dad throughout the journey where we got to
he
go
grew.
To.
He, my, our mom. So one thing we should mention, both of them worked to make Afghanistan a better place for people. They had a lot of love for their country. So our mom started as the more educated person. And our dad was getting his education. So she supported him throughout the entire thing. They both got to a place that where they could move out of Afghanistan, which is a tremendous step for any Afghans. They can fact check us. They can say, yeah. So based on our parents' careers and education, kind of really put, it differentiates us from other Afghans, I would say. Obviously, there are Afghans that have reached the places we are, but most kids at Afghanistan, and they don't even get the chance of seeing outside of Afghanistan. And me and Hikmat, at the ages of under 10, had traveled the most of the world. We had been in the entirety of Europe. We had been in... The only place, I guess, we didn't travel before later was the U.S.
Yeah, pretty much.
So most of the world we had seen as very young kids. We always went to private schools. Then coming to Norway as immigrants, as refugees, was a big shock for us. We were living in, what is it called? Like the cabin? No, the upside of a house.
Like the attic.
We were living in an attic of a kind of okay-sized house with a lot of other refugees. And
there were seven
our,
other families there.
Yeah, so it was not exactly easy. And our mom took the entire responsibility for her kids. She had me and Hikmat at the ages. I was 7. Hikmat had, he was 8. Yes, because, no, you were 9.
So the first year was when I was 9 and you were 8.
Exactly. And our little sister had just turned 1. So her as a 29-year-old, actually she turned, 29 in Norway, right? Yeah, our mom turned 29 in Norway, like 4 days after we went into the immigration office. So,
and we lived like that for about 2 years. A family of three got an allowance of about $300 a month, and that was supposed to cover our food and other expenses. We had housing and we had electricity and water, but we had no transport, like
language.
Sustainable, no language, like basically nothing. And the food was supposed to be on us, and that's $300 a month for a family of four. That's not going to work.
It truly, the thing is, now looking back at those memories, it seems so pure. It seems like we learned how to become someone. We didn't just get everything. We kind of had to experience extreme tough places in life. We're living extremely comfortable now, I would say, but our parents did a lot for us to be in where we are now. So we were at the refugee camps for 8 months, almost a year. If we include the time we were at camps, so how can I explain it? So first, when you get into a country and you're going into the refugee office, you're at this office, which we stayed at for 2 days. Then they send you to these camps, which are like maybe 1,000+ people. I don't know exact families, but I have quite traumatic memories from being on those camps, honestly. I remember at night you could hear screaming and shouting of people being transported back to their countries because they weren't going to get approval of living in Norway. And as kids at the age of 7 and 9, I remember just asking my mom, why are they crying? Why are they screaming? Like, I couldn't understand that they had traveled probably for months to get to Norway, and then they were just being kicked out like that, like families after family,
spent
every
all
night.
The money they have available.
Yes.
Left all of their family members behind and everything they worked for and their careers and everything behind just to come to a country that's going to send them right back. And there weren't few people. There was like 7 or 8 buildings, like blocks with at least 300 rooms in
Imagine a jail, honestly, because that's the perfect way of explaining it. It kind of looks like jails, and everyone has a responsibility to take care of the apartments and the housing. So we had this
and
routine also
4 to 5 people in each room living on bunk beds. Like, you know exactly jail beds? That. Exactly that was where we had to live.
Yeah. So we... And the thing is, it was really, I don't even know how to explain it. There was this house near the camps we were, which some kids used to go and steal clothes from there because no one had clothes, no one had money. Norway was super cold. Coming to Norway was like such a difference. So there was these guys stealing clothes from my mom because they know she was a lone mom. So we were getting stolen clothes. And those are like, looking back at it, we truly lived like crazy life 6 months. Like now... Like, actually speaking about this, it's been years since me and Hikmah have spoken about these memories, but...
I don't know if you remember when we used to sneak out of those buildings, those camps. We used to go under, like, the wires to get outside of the camps and go to, like, the riverside and
things.
The farms. And, like, we used to play with wheat because in Afghanistan, like, everything is a toy. And when you get to see actual wheat for the first time, you actually start playing with it.
So our memories, like you can see, they're very diverse from... having it all to having absolutely nothing. And remember, we're going through this process of immigrating whilst our dad is not in the picture. So our parents, how do I even explain this? So our dad, I don't know how to explain this, Hikmah, actually. You want to explain this?
I wasn't paying attention. What were you saying?
So explain why we were going through this immigration process with just our mom.
So basically, when we got to Norway, our dad could not join us. So we figured out a way to become immigrants in Norway. And while he was away, we were immigrants. And then a lot of stuff happened in Afghanistan. He had to quit his job. He had to find a way to live and escape that place. He went to the US. So he did not join us in Norway.
Actually, I will go in more depth about that later because it wasn't he just went to the US. We're going to get into it. But for now, let's just speak about our journey and how Norway had a big influence on who we kind of became. So, like we said, our immigration process took about maybe a year if we put all of it together. We had obviously a few months at this place. It was a lot of moving. We were like the government's property. They were doing whatever they wanted with us, sending us there, sending us that. Not really providing us a lot at the beginning because they weren't sure if we were going to be allowed to stay in the country. Once we did get our residency, they started sending us to school. And I remember we were... Were we placed in Stavanger or did we start somewhere else?
That was when we got our acceptance to live in Norway. Like, we got our temporary residency, then we got to live in Stavanger. That's when we were living in the attic and we had to go to school. That was about an hour and a half away from where we lived. And me and Hariwa had to go to that school alone because mom had to do other stuff. She had to do the immigration papers and try to find a job and all of those things that a mom has to do. Because we were just getting an allowance of $300 a month, which is not enough for 4 kids to get food, clothes, and toys. Like, at this point, we're still kids.
Yeah, she truly did everything to provide everything to us, even though we were going through a process of having nothing. And I truly don't remember not having anything, except for when we were in the camps. I feel like she always was able to provide safety for us. Like, I felt safe. I felt like I had everything, even though we didn't. So, we're going to insert some pictures of this time of our life because we have a lot of pictures, which I think will be fun for you guys. If you guys are listening to audio, that's completely fine. But if you want to see the pictures, go over to the YouTube. You're gonna find it interesting. So yeah, that was where it kind of started. And when we got our actual residency, they moved us to closer to the city of Norway, Oslo. In a place which is, again, kind of like a village, I would say. It's like a farmer's place where we got our own house finally. Finally, each of us had our own rooms. I remember going into that house and our jaws just being so dropped. We were so, like, happy. I remember feeling, finally, I feel kind of, again, okay. I feel like I'm settling. I got my own room. Because from when we were first placed into this attic, that we were speaking about, we were in so much shock about the tiny space we got. We had one room, no, two rooms. We had two rooms with four beds. Like, the rooms were incredibly small. We didn't have a kitchen. We had to go downstairs for a kitchen. We had half a table set up with two chairs where we could have dinner. It was like Harry Potter shit, if I can say. It was truly living
exactly
poverty.
Like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter shit. That's the way of putting it. So getting moved to Blocker, which was the name of the area we got placed, going into that house, I just remember honestly just being in shock and so happy. I was so extremely happy. I got my own bed. I had my own room. I had a table. Just being grateful for those small things. It's truly, it's an experience.
No, it's something a lot of people will never experience. And another thing that I actually really liked was going to a school with not just immigrants. Because before this, we had to go to language learning school and learn how the culture here works. And like, I had to jump from the second grade to the seventh grade. And I had to learn everything in between in 1 year. So that
and
was a very big jump.
Same. Yes, we both, I was jumped from the first grade till the fourth. So because we were going to private schools, it was a different system. It wasn't grading. It was more of a learning English and honestly just like a club. We were having so much fun. It was like an art school. We had karate, we had art, we had music, not much learning honestly, as I remember. It was a good it's good memories. But okay, actually this is just moving forth and back. Do you remember when we were going to school and the mass murdering of school students happened in Afghanistan, how our school had to bring out militaries to protect our schools?
Yeah. There was a mass shooting in a school where the Taliban killed an entire school. I think there was two survivors, and one of them was because they were sick that day. I think it was actually one survivor, and it was because they were sick
the
that day and did not go to
school.
The whole school
was a bloodbath. Like, we saw pictures of this. Like, the entire school was filled with blood, like a pool of blood, like complete.
When we say the entire school was wiped out, the entire school was wiped out. Principals, teachers, students, everyone. No one was safe. Everyone was killed.
And that brought a lot of fear to schools in Afghanistan. So we had military.
I think they actually shut down for like 1 or 2 days and then had guards outside of school checking in people all the time.
Yes.
And having private chauffeurs drive you to that school is also another thing.
Yeah. But okay, back to Norway and starting school in Blokker. So we got moved to this area, like I said, it was just filled with farms and farmers and mostly Norwegians. So why Norwegians? I remember our entire school had one black kid and we, us two. Did you have any black students in your class? Because I had one and he ended up being my best friend. You didn't, right?
I had some Turkish people, but that was the best you get.
I remember that they lived not far from us. They lived up because we were living in these houses that were like really close to each other. It was so nice. Honestly, like moving to...
It was at the con. If he's watching this, call me.
They were like best friends. So he lived like four like streets up from us. And my friend lived like two streets on this side from us.
It's a village. You can't expect people to be too far apart. Everybody was in like a tight, close community. You can search up Blokker on Google Maps. You'll see how close-knit the people are.
So it was really interesting. And again, a totally another jump of status. I would say status because like our statuses was being changed the entirety of us moving, learning and moving. And this is the first place we stayed in for a while. We stayed there for maybe like 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, about 4 years. And then we moved again because we were about to get our citizenships and we moved to Sørumsand, which is also another small village in the outskirts of Oslo.
Yeah,
but
it was closer, a little bit bigger. Yeah,
it
has more of a city feel. It's not farms or anything, but the houses are close together. People, I would say, are wealthy in that area. They're doing good. And that was closer to our school, which was like middle high school. And a lot of things obviously happened throughout of all of these experiences. Again, our dad was not in the picture throughout this whole process until Hikmat was like in the ninth grade, I will say.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, about now.
Yes. So our mom truly carried us on her back. She got us through that process. She truly... Yeah, she took a lot of hits for us. Actually, what we failed to mention, again, sorry guys, this is our first time recording. We're gonna be a bit messy. This is gonna be unedited, but hopefully with time, this is gonna be more clean and more understandable for you guys. So whilst we were living in the first house that we got, like the actual house, our parents did get a divorce. We kind of forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
So I was 10 and Hikman was 12, and our parents, or actually I'm going to be, we said we were going to be super transparent and honest with you guys. So our dad decided to remarry as an Afghan man. Honestly, it came kind of like a shock to our mom because she wasn't aware of this. So when we found out that he was going to get remarried, it was like seeing our mom break apart. She totally did break apart. It was like seeing your hero fail, kind of, because she was doing so great in her job and academics. She was a very truly smart woman. They both are and were, but seeing her fail in her personal life and how destroyed that made her, it was hard for us not having a dad too, but seeing her lose her husband, which was her life partner, I would say that part for me was kind of harder, because I guess as kids, you get used to things quite fast, but them having a life together for 15 years and then for that to happen, it was kind of heartbreaking, honestly. We got to experience a lot of heartbreak through our parents and kind of learn a lot through our parents. But after after our dad got married, our mom, as a very brave Afghan woman, decided she wanted a divorce from him. Most Afghan people would not do this because this is an extremely shameful process. This is like there's not many divorces happening in Middle Eastern countries. It's like not a thing. So for our mom,
if you divorce, one of them has to die. That's basically
yes. It's like either the woman is a whore or they're a bitch. They don't have respect for their family. They're ruining their family name or honor.
Or they're not religious.
Yes, which is so wrong for our mom. Our mom is very religious. She believes in God and she carries God everywhere she goes. But she decided that she wanted a divorce and that she couldn't share her husband, which is understandable. So after that happened, things really changed in our life, I would say. That was another change, like a huge change. Yeah. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
No, it was just, you have to, like, again, put into perspective how fast all of this happened. So we went from age 1 to 2, we're living in a mud hut. We just moved to a new city, one of the largest cities in Afghanistan. We moved to Herat, living in one of our family members' basement, growing up to being around 4 to 5. And then suddenly we have to move again to Kabul, living in a 6-story building, top floor, no elevator. We have to go up all the way in like a tiny little house with 2 rooms, and we have to live there for about 2 years. And then suddenly everything turns good. We live in a mansion and we're living like the most luxurious life you can live. Like, and we're also very well accomplished, me and Hariva. Like, I was winning competitions in academics, math, and so on. I won an iPad, I won some money, and so on. And she was doing pretty good. She had a pretty good friend group, and so on. And we go from that at age 6 to 7 to suddenly being in Norway, having no home, no money, not a dad in our life, and our mom has to carry us everywhere. And she's just turned like 28, 29, and has to carry a family of 3 on her own. And then we go from that to our parents being divorced. And now that's like in a 6-year period, we went from living in a basement to our parents being divorced in a completely different country, completely separated from each other. And in between that, we became really wealthy and then really broke again.
So let me just add a bit to what he said. So yeah, like he mentioned, all of this happened in a very short period. We had a lot of ups and downs. And I think, obviously, our dad wasn't in the picture for the entirety of the time we were in Norway before the divorce. He was not in the picture at all. He was getting pictures of us and things from our mom, not more. We got to speak to him maybe a few times. But after their divorce, I guess my dad wasn't expecting my mom to have the balls to divorce him, which she did. So after the divorce, or after my mom filed for the divorce, he started being in the picture again. He started to come to Norway, kind of pursue that not to happen, I guess. But Scratch that. It did happen. They did get a divorce. That completely changed our relationship to our dad, even though he wasn't in the picture. Me and Hikmat, we always have extreme amount of respect for him and love for him, even though I guess we didn't live the picture perfect family for a few years. We were seeing that as the process of us ending up as a family again, because we truly had a loving family. Our parents had a love marriage. They had so much passion in what they were doing with us and their personal lives and their academics. They were very alike people. They were very well thought people. Even as Afghans, they were living truly like Europeans and Americans back in their days. So them separating, for me, I'm going to speak from my perspective and then I will let Hikmat say, it totally changed my perspective on him and how I viewed my dad. Because I am what you can call a daddy's girl. I was at the top of his head. I had him around my little finger for you audience listeners. I truly used that to my benefits. Like, he was my everything. My mom knew this. I had a great relationship with my mom, but she was nothing like the relationship I had with my dad. So that happening, and whilst my mom did file for a divorce, she obviously asked for her kids' opinions because she wanted to do what's best for us. One thing that I find truly funny, even though we loved our dad as much as a person can love their dad, I would say, we both said to our mom, divorce this. We were so for it. We were like, absolutely not. No one's disrespecting our mom like that. We truly encouraged her to do that. Obviously, it was totally decided by her, but our encouragement, I think, made her feel more comfortable that she was okay with feeling how she felt. So, again, back to how it made me view my father. It was, I just cut him out of my life. For me, the day my dad got remarried, he died in my eyes. I truly had a funeral. That night, I had a funeral for him. I don't know if, I think me and Hikmat have spoken about this. I sat in my room crying because I always carried a picture of him under my pillow. And the day after that, I had a funeral for his picture. I put him in the grave, crying my eyes out. But I think that was the easiest way for me to be okay with what happened. So he died that day. I completely, my respect and my feelings towards him that day vanished as much as it can vanish.
And from my perspective, that come like for both of us, because we both kind of did that. Like, I didn't talk to my dad. Again, we were like 9 when we got to Norway. I didn't talk to him for
about 5 years.
6 years. And then I was 15, 16, and then I started talking to him again. And that wasn't good talking. That was like resentment talking.
We both had so much anger and resentment towards him. So we both had, we're going to get into it, but we had we were kind of traumatized by most of the things that had happened to us up to then, because it was happening so fast. We couldn't get settled anywhere in comfort. It was always something new, always something new to get used to, always something new. I feel like we got truly lost in all of the chaos, even though the chaos made us who we are now. In our teens, me and Hikmat, we both took completely different paths and we both had a lot of anger and trauma we were dealing with. We dealt with it very differently, but at the same time, very similarly. We're going to get into it. So, yeah, resentment. Continue. I'm sorry for... Yeah.
All good. So... it both came from a place of resentment. Hariba resented that because she was daddy's girl. Like, not a moment without each other. They always loved each other. I think that loved Hariba more than loved my mom. All the time was spent together. And when she didn't get to spend time, she was still in her head waiting for dad to return. And when he said he's not returning, that was the nail in the coffin. That's when the resentment started. That's like, how could someone who I care for this much leave me like that and not say anything to me? That's like, that was the...
Okay, guys. So this is going to get personal, but it's okay. We are okay with that.
So okay. Spending about 6 years waiting, about 3 years waiting for your dad to return to like run and embrace him. But then he says, I'm not returning. And that's final. That was like the moment when Hariba got resentment. For me, the resentment came from a place where, from my perspective at that time, because I was a child and did not understand how parenting works, I did not get the love I deserved as a kid. I was always like second to Hariba because Hariba was the daddy's child. And mom was, from my perspective, immature. Could not be a proper mom. could not teach me the things a mom needs. And as a guy, I need a man to teach me the things a man needs. And I didn't have any of those. So I built the resentment based on, I don't have a childhood because I have to be the big brother to my sister. And my sister takes all the love from my dad. And my mom can't give me the love I need because she's giving all of that to dad. So my resentment came from neglect. Like I was neglected, basically. And I didn't feel like I deserved to like grow up. I didn't learn how to shave. I didn't learn how to take care of myself. I had really bad mental problems. And it was just all like resenting my dad for it. I was beat as a kid. I pushed my sister once and I was beat for like 30 minutes for that because I almost made her hit her head on the table.
Let me just add something to that. He pushed me into a sharp corner, which could have like made me paralyzed. It was my spine. Guys, this guy tried to, that's attempted murder. But I will take some of the blame because, yes, I think, so me and Hikmet from a very young age kind of had different personalities. I was very able to connect with people very quickly. I was I could read the room like this and I knew exactly how to make people like me. And me and Hikmet, we were like, obviously, any memory I have from my childhood, Hikmet's right next to me or in front of me. That's my memory. Like, I always remember him being there. I don't know if I liked it at that time, but now they're good memories. I'm grateful for having an older brother always there with me. Like, it's like always feeling secure and having some. I feel like I had that feeling of secureness always. From wherever I got it, I was very secure that I wasn't alone. And so what was I going to, I don't remember what point I was going to make with this, but so.
So from I'm gonna say one thing that puts it in perspective of how we felt in these moments is we went from a country where we as kids are not allowed to have emotions. If we feel a certain way, we have to listen to our parents, and if we don't, we get beat, and if we get beat, then we cry, and if we cry, then we get beat more. That's how the system there works. Like, we could not have emotions. And what we didn't understand is our dad is 20. He's going through his own emotional journey. He's going through his own problems. Like, we could not understand. We're still kids. So we went from having no emotions and no rights to being in a place where we had all the emotions in the world, all the attention and love that we needed at that time, living in a country where we had private chauffeurs, going to private school, living in a mansion, like, we had all the right to feel how exactly what we wanted to do. And then we went from that to being in a place where we don't understand our own emotions, surrounded by people who have lived their entire life in the luxury of being able to feel exactly what they want to feel. And we did not understand that. We had to process that and learn how to feel. And once we started to know how we feel, that's when we like, me, I hate this.
Our feelings turned into just rage and anger. That was the only feeling I think we were capable of feeling at that time.
Because we didn't understand like what else to feel. We were basically already adults. We had to take care of ourselves. We came from a country where at the age of 5, 6, you start working to make money to help your family. And then you go to a country where you don't have to work ever. And then you go to a country where now you don't need to work. You don't have to even worry about that. And you have to learn everything.
We're having some intruders, Hikmet. What should I do?
Who's the intruder?
Who do you think?
Dad?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Intruders, yeah, so. Go away. Okay,
yeah, so. That's the situation where you have to go from not being able to feel, having all the right to feel, but not knowing what to feel, to knowing what to feel, but not understanding it. Like, you're basically regressing in your journey as a man or a woman at this point. Like, we went from having to grow up extremely fast because our parents were immature and had us at 20. Like, if you have a kid at 20, you're going to fuck their life up. You don't know how to live yourself yet. How are you going to have another kid to raise? Went from that.
Three kids. One, two, three.
Three kids.
One,
like, they went from that to now we have to go backwards in time and be able to feel the emotions that we would have as a child. And then we had to like basically speed run that at the same time as we're speed running life, getting to learn a new language, new culture, new things, new food, everything. And we have to academically also like strive for better. And
We
Do all
had
of
a
those
lot,
mixed together just
yeah, we
builds
had
resentment?
some pressure when it came to academics because both our parents were highly academic people. We both always kind of were starving to achieve what they did, I feel like, or do better. I always wanted to do good in school. And honestly, we both kind of did always good in school. We're not dumb people, I would say. We were blessed when it came to that, kind of just naturally. So school always, like being in the at the top, it was always our goal, being at the top, doing the best. Just that mindset. Whatever it came to, we just had to be at top. And that was what was expected of us, honestly. Having to kind of, it sounds weird, but we kind of grew up with our mom. So like Hikmet mentioned, they were immature. They had kids at a young age. So us having to mature very early and her maturing as we mature was like kind of growing up with her, seeing her grow,
Yeah, so
seeing.
like imagine growing up at the same speed as your parents, learning the same things they're learning. And like, again, I'm turning 20 this year. I'm turning the age my dad was when he got me. And at this stage, I know myself, I don't know jack shit about life. I'm not ready to have kids. But I also understand that at this time, my dad knew less than I do now. So how the hell could he possibly be ready to have kids? He was living in a country where he barely had academics. Like the computers were not almost invented yet. And he was having kids at that time. Think
Starting
about that.
life early. So
It's not even
basically,
about starting life early. It was, we had to literally, from our age, grow up at the same rate as them, at the same speed. Like,
the intruder is writing, wrap it up.
okay, wrapping it up soon.
Okay. So, okay. I guess we're gonna, that's kind of how far we can. No, actually, we can also speak about why we're in the places we are now. So, like we mentioned, I am in the US right now, Hikmat in India. We have totally different reasons for why we are in different places we are. You can start by explaining why you're in India right now.
It's about life trajectory. Where do you want your life to go? How can you position yourself in a position where you can achieve the life you want to achieve? And right now, for me, achieving freedom is my goal. And to do that, I need to go through business. It's like the only way. Either I get super lucky and win the $1.8 billion lottery, or I work. And as a man, if you are a real man and not just a boy, you understand that you make your own luck. There is nothing called luck in this world. You make it yourself.
Or I would rephrase it. There is something that's called luck, and there's another thing that says be prepared to take the luck because you can get lucky and
Yeah,
be
but like,
unprepared, and then you're unprepared and unlucky because you're unprepared.
yeah, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. But
There he said
you can
it.
also build your own luck by just doing so much volume of work where being lucky just becomes impossible. Being not lucky becomes impossible. Perspective is flipping a coin. If I flip a coin 10 times, are the odds of it landing 50-50, 100%? No. If I flip a coin 50,000 times, now the number is practically 50-50. Does that like doing volume of work makes everything makes you lucky? That's what makes you lucky. You
As
cannot
you
be
guys can
unlucky
see,
if you just do work.
we can speak on about the smallest topic for days because we have so much opinions with experience to back it up. So I feel like our thoughts might help people who hasn't had as much experiences as us, but feel just as lost. So now I'm gonna mention why I'm in the US right now. So for me, okay, this is gonna be extremely funny for you guys, but I just started having contact with my dad again at the age of 18, and I was really going through it at those years, and we're gonna get more into it, obviously. But I decided what would be best for me is to get a fresh start and maybe reconnect with my dad again, and maybe that will help my mental state. So I moved to the US, which is where he's placed and lives with his family. I'm now living with him, going to school again. So I'm here to finish school, finish high school, and see where life takes me after. That's kind of what we are both in the process of just figuring it more out. Even though we have most things figured out, there's no recipe on how to live, guys. It's trust your gut, be prepared for opportunities, and take them.
And that's where we differ. I think there is a right way to live your life.
Yeah, I absolutely don't.
I think living the best life you can possibly do is living a life with what you want to do. And it sounds like the same thing she's saying, but it's not. If like you understand, like you want to live a life of fulfillment, if you want to be happy, what does that bring? You can be happy off doing drugs. Should you do drugs? Is that what you want to do? It's not the right thing to do. Obviously,
we're
everybody knows it's not the right
that,
thing to
guys.
Do.
We're getting into it. But I want to just say is your perspective of what you want to do changes as you age. That's where you don't put that into perspective. We're going to get into all of those things. But for now, that's going to be the wrap. That's going to be our introduction. I hope you guys get a sense of who we are, why we're doing this, and hopefully you get some useful information out of this.
Yeah. So I've made a Google form. You can submit any questions you want us to go through or any opinions you have that you want us to discuss. You can submit that there and we're going to take them. It's in basically every single social media we have. Check the bio.
Yes. So we're going to wrap it up now, guys. Thank you for listening to our Empire of Wisdom podcast. Hopefully you guys kind of sense our wisdom and this is not just an arrogance name. But thank you guys for listening so far and so much to us just yapping and talking too much in depth. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.